Hey, yo, Fro Podcast listeners, help us out. Click subscribe and show your support. And while you're at it, shoot on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's live episode. We are now calling this live episode the Going Live at 9:05. So this episode, we have the fan voting kicking off for the Sweet 16 round of our 256 Tag Team Tournament. There are some amazing matches in this round. Our Patreon members have already gotten a quick glimpse of those. I've already gotten some great feedback from them about the matches in the tournament. We're going to get those going momentarily. The actual links are live right now, so feel free to pop on over to our page, the frolifeplanning.com/fropodcast. You'll find a link there to do your voting for this round of the tournament. You guys have done an amazing job putting together some really amazing matches. As you go through round to round, there have been some really deep matches, ones that you really had to struggle with to vote. You had other ones that were just clearly obvious who should win what. This round, if I'm being completely honest, I think there's only one match that's a dead giveaway. Otherwise, all the other matches are really toss-ups, and I'm going to put all of them into this episode so you'll get to hear them from me, as well as cover today's news and rumors, the things going on in the world of professional wrestling. It's been a relatively quiet week for news. At the same time, there's enough important stuff going on that we have plenty to talk about. And of course, as always, feel free to call into the sound off line at 267-642-1160. Give us your questions, your comments, whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want to give us. Remember, that is our talk-to-text service, so when you call into our line, it'll send us your voice. You know, we'll get a text of what you said, and I will try to respond to as many of our listeners as I can as we progress throughout the show. That being said, the week has been kind of crazy. WWE has had almost an ineptitude when it comes to picking up free agent talents, people that should be within their company, and this week they have missed out on an opportunity, and it's really driving me nuts. It's one of the first things I want to talk about. You know, with the advent of NXT, with NXT being as popular as it is, as well as having to cultivate talent on both Raw and SmackDown, and one of the biggest issues with Raw being that it's a three-hour show that doesn't get enough wrestling, actual wrestling on the show, I've always felt like WWE needs to make a concerted effort to bring in as much talent as they can from outside to try to funnel more excitement, more new, fresh matches into their program. A lot of people, their most common complaint is, we get stale matches every single week on Raw and on SmackDown. And to some degree, we're actually starting to hear some of that about NXT, because you have the same people who will end up in a program for 2 or 3 months, and that's the only person you see the person wrestle. So WWE needs to bring in more talent. For those who are really loyal followers of the Fro Wrestling Podcast, you'll notice that this week I put up a few different videos, and if you're on, whether you're on YouTube or if you go to Spreaker, there's the audio there without the pictures, obviously, detailing talents that I think they need to be bringing in. There's one for indie talent, there's one for Japanese talent, and people who WWE needs to make a concerted effort to sign. And that's an issue. Lately, you know, we can give them all the kudos in the world for bringing in people like Roderick Strong, Shinsuke Nakamura, Kevin Owens, AJ Styles. That's great. You brought in a few guys. But right now, Ring of Honor and Impact Wrestling have both made a critical error in their judgment, allowing multiple talents' contracts to lapse. And WWE, in what I consider to be a very foolish decision, has not swooped in and wooed those people with really good money deals to bring them in and foster their talent pool. The reality is this. If you look at the top of the card in World Wrestling Entertainment, almost all of their top-tier stars have been there for a substantial amount of time. Now, that's a good and a bad thing. You know, the bad thing is that they tend to get stale, but the reality is, the good side to that is that, you know, I've heard people complain that WWE, they won't spend the money because they want to see what the talent can do for them first. Look, when Sheamus came to the company, they didn't realize what he was going to be when he got there, and he's made them a lot of money over a long period of time. Their investment was well placed. Now, when you have years worth of content from Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, AAW, you name it, Progress, ICW, Lucha Underground, AAA, CMLL, New Japan, whatever it is, when you have all of that background knowledge, video, things you can look at, you don't need to sit there and wonder if someone like a Sheamus was going to work out anymore. You have something to look at to give you some more validation. So my frustration is when you have people sitting out there like Dalton Castle, Dalton Castle's contract recently expired. It was expected. WWE had huge interest in Dalton Castle. Here's the issue. Today it was announced that Dalton Castle has re-signed with Ring of Honor. He's 31 years old. WWE has an issue bringing in older talents most of the time. So how long does he stay in Ring of Honor before he makes the jump to WWE, if he ever does? And the problem is that WWE, they needed to throw the cash at the guy. He's an attraction. He's clearly a draw. Ring of Honor has exploited his character as much as they can so far. He's really on an upswing. I expect him to be world champion at some point in the next year. I don't think it'll take, but a couple months, especially now that he's demonstrated his loyalty by re-signing with the company. For me, Dalton Castle was a huge get for WWE if they would have signed him. Instead, they sat around, they lollygagged, they didn't make him a priority the way he should have been, and we're left sitting here wondering if Dalton Castle is ever going to make an appearance for World Wrestling Entertainment, because now, signing a two-year deal with Ring of Honor, what is he, 33 years old? Then he's going to have to go to NXT, and they'll leave him there for a year, maybe two, then he'll be 35. That's getting to where, you know, and it's different when you're somebody like AJ Styles or Samoa Joe. You know, they've been, Bobby Roode, they've been established for so long, you could bring him right up to the main roster. But someone like Dalton Castle in Ring of Honor, pretty much exclusively Ring of Honor is what he's known for, you can't bring him straight to the main roster. You need to take him down to NXT, and you need to really figure out what it is you have in him. And that is the issue, because they haven't done that. So we'll have to see how this progresses. My personal opinion, they really need to take the time to put something together for some of these other talents that are out there. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, which talents I think they should target, go on to the Pro Wrestling Podcast. Go onto the YouTube channel is probably the best place to find it. And pull up the two videos I put up this week. Top 10 talents in indie world that they should be signing. And the top 10 talents from Japan they need to target to sign. Naturally, not all of the Japanese ones or all the indie ones are free agents. But it's definitely something they should look at as soon as those people come. Now, a lot of them that I put on there are free agents. And they should be looking at that. But I digress. I want to get into the things, the upside of things for this episode. We want to talk about the tag team tournament. I'm going to give you every match because we're down to the last 16 teams. We're down to the last 8 matchups. So it's really not too much of a stretch to just sit here and chit-chat about them all. So I'm going to give you the first match in the tournament. For those who haven't gone online yet, please pop into frolifeplanning.com/fropodcast. Cast your votes. Get them in there. The voting will be open until Wednesday of this week. We have already had, you know, with our early voters have already given us a great response, but I really want to see my loyal listeners, the ones who tune in every week, I want to see you guys get your opportunity to get your voice heard. The first match we're going to talk about, Harlem Heat. In this round, the Sweet 16 round, Harlem Heat is going to take on Demolition. A match that obviously never happened. It's very hard sometimes when you compare generations and time frames to really put this in perspective and understand who would have defeated who. Harlem Heat, arguably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, tag team of all time. Multiple World Tag Team Championship wins. Of course, Booker T goes on to become a world champion multiple times over. So they have their resume. When you look at the Demolition tag team, and I'm talking more about Axe and Smash. I understand some people will confuse this and bring in the whole Crush thing. That was at the tail end of things when Demolition wasn't really Demolition anymore. They didn't hold the crowd the way they did originally. They didn't have the same dominance like they did originally. And that was kind of like what they did as a placeholder when Axe was in the twilight of his career, which is kind of weird to say now because he's still wrestling at these little spot shows with Smash as Demolition to this day. But WWE was winding him down, brought Crush in to replace him. So I'm not talking about the Crush version because that was lame. I'm talking about Axe and Smash, very dominant, longest tag team championship reign all the way up until the New Day last year changed things, which I always found was bizarre is that they took the belts off of New Day as soon as they got the record. That made no sense to me whatsoever. But so who you pick here, I really couldn't care less. I've said this repeatedly through every round we've done. I don't care who you choose, but choose somebody and just enjoy the process. By the way, for those people who did not get the number in the past, don't forget to call into our Sound Off line 267-642-1160 for our talk to text service so we can get your questions and comments and keep them going right on through this live broadcast. We should be online till around 10 o'clock tonight. Our next match in that tag team tournament, you guys have picked this one. It is the Road Warriors, probably the alpha number one seed in the tournament, taking on D-Generation X in the form of Shawn Michaels and Triple H. Now, I did have somebody ask me, when I refer to DX for this match, am I talking about Michaels and Triple H from like 1998? Or are we talking about when they came back and reformed and were facing the Spirit Squad and won the tag titles? Is that that version? I don't care. You pick what you want. This is your tournament. I'm just facilitating it. So, D-Generation X versus the Road Warriors. I don't know what to tell you to do here. Because here's the problem with some of these matchups and some of these tag team matches that people don't understand. People have a preconceived notion that the Road Warriors are the odds on hands down have to be the winners of this tournament. That is not the case. The Road Warriors, for all the dominance they had, for all the years that they had it, they didn't always win. So you don't have to book the Road Warriors to win this. This is not a tournament about who was the best tag team of all time. If it was, I'd be perfectly okay with skipping the whole thing and jumping right to the end and saying the Road Warriors. Or jumping to the end and saying somebody else that you guys feel would be on that level. But that's not what we're talking about here. These are fantasy matches. You are the booker. You are the person creating the storyline in your mind. And you come up with whatever finish you want for the match. If it makes sense to you that Triple H and Shawn Michaels will pull some shenanigans and get a win over the Road Warriors, you can look that match up on YouTube. It happened. You know, so it is possible for the Road Warriors to lose this match. Now, you have to ask yourself, in a tournament situation and in your prime, do you think the Road Warriors would fall, you know, victim to that? Because when that happened, it was a little later in their career. Probably not. So it's really up to you. You make the call. Let's get going with some more of today's news. Don't forget, tonight is New Japan Pro Wrestling's Dominion. It takes place roughly 3 o'clock in the morning for those of us here in the States. It is the rematch between Kazuchika Okada and Kenny Omega. This is long overdue. I personally would expect Omega to walk out with the championship. Okada has held it for an extended period of time. It's time to put the belt on somebody else. I don't know if the Japanese bookers will go ahead with that. There has never been a Canadian IWGP heavyweight champion who has also held the IWGP junior heavyweight championship. So the odds are against Kenny Omega from a historical perspective, but you cannot argue with the fanfare and the appreciation of the Japanese fans for Kenny Omega, the cleaner. You know, he's somebody WWE really screwed up this year and they really should have gone after full bore, all the money out on the table and brought him in. But again, I'm not going to go down that road. We already covered that. Also on that card, Tanahashi taking on Naito for the Intercontinental Championship. That is a huge match as well. As some people who have popped over to YouTube while we're doing this podcast have seen my top 10 list for Japanese talents that they need to target. Both of them are on the list. Neither is a free agent right now, but when they become one, if I was WWE, I don't care which one it is. I know some people are anti-Tanahashi because he's a little older in his career, but he is an instant main eventer. I would kill to see a match with he and John Cena or something of that nature, or he and AJ in a WWE ring, or he and Finn Balor in a WWE ring. But tonight, big show. Please check that out if you have the ways and means. You can grab their online service, much like the WWE Network, and check that out tonight if you get the chance. The other things in the news today, who is favored to win Money in the Bank? So, you know, as always, Vegas has to put their 2 cents into every wrestling show nowadays. It seems bizarre that a predetermined sport would have betting, but in the last few pay-per-views, the odds makers have had like all the matches right except for one or two, and then those one or two are the ones that really blow your mind. Obviously, they had Jinder Mahal as a severe underdog early in the betting, and literally the day before, Jinder Mahal became like this odds-on favorite to win the title from Randy Orton, and then it happened. All those people who bet on him early with the huge odds against him made a fortune. All the people who bet later, it had to bet a whole lot more money to make anything. So interesting to see how they do this. And the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, they're, you know, all six competitors are listed and five of them have relatively low odds of winning. The one guy who has emerged as the favorite to win Money in the Bank is Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin, the way that it looks like they're booking this, he's going to win Money in the Bank. And at some point, I would guesstimate probably January or February will cash in after John Cena takes the world championship from Jinder Mahal at the Royal Rumble. That is what I understand the booking to be as of right now. So look for Baron Corbin to take that briefcase. I don't know if that's who I would put the briefcase on, but that's who they look like they're going to put it on. They are hell-bent on getting Baron Corbin over as a main eventer. I'm not saying he's not worth it. I just think he needs more time before you put him in that position, but WWE is notorious for not taking their time with talent anymore and escalating people way too fast. You can refer back to the aforementioned Jinder Mahal. Kurt Angle in the news this week talking about his dream opponent. He listed a whole lot of talents that he would love to work with, whether it was people he's wrestled in the past, the Brock Lesnars and John Cena's and people like that, Triple H, or people who were on the roster who he would love to have a match with. Some he had in the past, some he didn't, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, but he also mentioned Finn Balor. And Finn Balor was the one he cited as being his number one goal. Dream match right now to face would be Finn Balor. He thinks that he could put on an absolute show with Finn Balor. And I am not here to argue that. I think that's the kind of match, the way Balor works and the way Kurt Angle always goes out of his way to put on a great show. I think that could be something that could really be special. And let's just hope at some point they give Kurt Angle the opportunity to showcase his athletic talent one more time, at least one more time in the WWE ring. And who knows, maybe that's exactly the opponent we should have. And I see we have our first question this week from Psycho Sydney, who wants to know if I will keep doing the top 10 videos I've been posting. Yeah, Sydney, I'm actually looking at doing more of those. I've gotten some suggestions from people who tune into the podcast often asking me. One person actually suggested to me, I'm always asking you guys for like subscribes and likes and comments and all those things. And as many people know about YouTube and Facebook and places, things like that, when you are trying to promote your show and gain an audience, the more subscribers and views and likes you get, the better you rank. And what occurred to a friend of mine who was talking to me about the podcast is that by me doing things the way I'm doing them right now, and I just do this, you know, every day's news and rumors and things like that, that's fantastic for the people who tune in every week. But I should have a few things up there that have more of a perpetual effect. Do they stay up there longer? And people, you know, if somebody reads the spoilers from, you know, the Royal Rumble in January on my podcast back in January, 7 months later, they don't want to go back and reread the Royal Rumble spoilers because it's old news. But the top 10 list, when I put those up, people may be interested. Oh, I forget who we put on that top 10 list. Maybe they'll go back and watch that again. So I know I'm spilling the beans on my strategy there, and it's all thanks to my buddy, but that's what we're doing. We're going to give you guys some interesting things to look at that have more of staying power rather than just always giving you news only. We want to make sure we keep you guys entertained. So I hope that answers your question. Let's look at some of the other matches in the Sweet 16. Let's get to the next one. Next two, actually. The Steiner Brothers are matched up against AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels. Great match. The Steiner Brothers coming out last round, they beat the world's greatest tag team. It was a very close vote. I expected the Steiner Brothers to steamroll in that round, and instead, it was only decided by two votes, which is kind of shocking to me. This match, in the past, I would have said it would have been easily the Steiner Brothers would win this, but after seeing how the voting went last round with the world's greatest tag team, I'm not entirely sure what you guys will do with this. And again, I'm not voting, so I get no say in this. But I could see making a case also depending on how old the viewer is, okay? So we have some listeners who, and there was actually a story online this week about pro wrestling audiences. The average age of a pro wrestling audience has doubled in the last 10 years. So, you know, what used to be 18 to 34 is now like 35 to like 50. So obviously a lot of the older fans are still enamored with the product and newer fans are harder to come by, which could explain some of the declining ratings on Raw and SmackDown. But when you look at that for something like this, if you're an old school fan who grew up watching the Steiners in the 80s and the 90s, you know, you can easily make a case that the Steiners may be the best tag team in this entire tournament. You know, the Road Warriors, Animal, was just recently on the internet talking about all the championships that he and Road Warrior Hawk won around the world. Well, the Steiners did that too. You know, they went over to the IWGP Tag Team Championships. They brought them to the United States and defended them, something Animal insists that he and Hawk were the only people to ever do. Not true. Steiner Brothers did that as well. They defended the IWGP Tag Team Championship here in the United States. The Steiners were huge, and they conquered everywhere they went. They went to the WCW, they went to WWE, they went to other various independent promotions earlier in their career, and later in TNA they even made appearances. So I'm okay with no matter what you do. As a matter of fact, they won the IWGP tag titles again in the 2000s when they took a tour over there for a very short stay over there when they were with Impact Wrestling. So you could make a case here, no matter what time you watch the Steiner Brothers, that they were worthy of winning this match. The problem is if you're a younger viewer and you aren't familiar with the Steiners back in the 80s and early 90s, mid-90s, you may be like, listen, that's that old pumped up Papa Pump guy who's got big muscles and can't move, and Rick Steiner who looks like a gray-bearded, you know, old dog-faced gremlin character. Well, that's true. You know, they both are working past their prime at this point. Scott Steiner's returning to Impact Wrestling now, and he's way past his prime. But that's not the Steiner brothers I'm referring to with this tournament. But if that's your only frame of reference, I can't hold it against you. And AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels, they're beloved by, you know, longtime Impact Wrestling fans. So what you pick here, again, it's always up to you. But this one, I think, is going to be more determined by the age of the audience that actually makes a vote. And for my younger listeners out there, I know some of you don't log on and do the voting. You listen to the podcast because I see your comments and things later, but I don't see you voting. Jump over there and vote. FroLifePlanning.com/FroPodcast. So, don't forget the sound off line. A lot of people keep forgetting that every week. 267-642-1160. Send us your thoughts, questions, or comments. I will address them right now online while we're doing the broadcast. Our next match in the tournament, we've got Sting and Lex Luger have made it into the Sweet 16, and they have a stiff match here. They're going head-to-head with the Dudley Boys. I am having a really tough time with this because, and this is almost like I'm doing the same thing a lot of people do with the Road Warriors, the Dudleys are one of the greatest, if not the greatest, it's another debate, tag teams in history. 24 tag team championships, etc., etc. But Bully Ray being a world champion, Devon getting other titles and Impact and the such. So I'm okay with the Dudley Boys winning this match if necessary. But at the same time, Sting and Luger won the Crockett Cup Tag Team Tournament. They won the WCW Tag Team Championships on a few occasions. They didn't spend as much time together, so there's some people who would automatically make that a hit against them. But again, this is not a tournament for who is the greatest tag team of all time. This is a tournament with the greatest tag teams of all time, but they're matched up in fantasy booking. That is the purpose of this tournament. So book it how you want. For me, I love it when people pick their winners and then they give me a comment and tell me why they chose who they chose. Because some people put up a really good argument for why they pick who they pick. For this one, I'm a raving lunatic Sting fan. Always have been. Going back to bleach blonde hair and everything else. Lex Luger? Okay, I'll admit it. I was actually a huge Lex Luger fan for a while too. So I'd be okay with Sting and Luger winning this. But I love the Dudleys too. Whether it's ECW, WWE, WCW, Tag Champs, the TNA, the New Japan. Like, you pick it. They've done it all. So go with your heart here. Do whatever you feel is right. Don't forget, if you're waiting to call in and leave your message or comments, I'm not seeing the thing light up like I usually do this week. Usually I get a few questions and I can feed them in. I have one more coming in right now, but otherwise, and I should have known this one was coming in, but otherwise, I only have one comment on here, people. Send me your comments. I want to hear from you. Here, I knew this had to come at some point because I have to be honest here. I don't even know this person, but they've become probably the most loyal listener I have. I have a comment from Barry Harry Larry, who has been here on every episode that we've done. Barry Harry Larry, I wish I knew you, buddy. I really do. He's asking how The Miz can ever be considered a world champion level contender when you have so many obvious superior talents on the Raw and SmackDown brands. Great question. If you're The Miz, last year, a good part of the year, he really carried the Intercontinental Championship in a way that hadn't been done in quite a while. Almost in the way John Cena was doing that United States Championship for a while with his open challenges and such. I'm not saying The Miz had the open challenge thing, but he added some legitimacy to that Intercontinental Championship. And now I felt like, while he was still on SmackDown, right before the Superstar Shakeup, when they did the Shakeup, I would have been okay if they pushed him to the world title. Now, he's on Raw. Now, like, picture this in your mind. Are you going to believe that they're ever going to book The Miz to defeat Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, Bray Wyatt, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, Seth Rollins? Probably not. I don't see a way for him to get to the upper. He's like 7th or 8th on their priority list, and that's without counting some of the people that they're probably going to want to push, like Big Cass, whenever they break him away from Enzo and turn him heel, or if they still do that, now that there's some question about whether they're going to do that or not. You know, what are you going to do? Like, he can't get above a certain level, and that's got to be frustrating for him. But us as fans who appreciate The Miz, because he really has been a huge contributor in the last year, that's even more frustrating. No, I don't think there's any way to book him as a world champion unless you give him something like the Money in the Bank. That would be the only way around it. But the Money in the Bank pay-per-view is not on Raw this year. It's on SmackDown. So no, I don't see a way for The Miz to do it. You gonna have him win the Royal Rumble and challenge at WrestleMania? No. He's not a WrestleMania main eventer. I know they tried that once before, but that was a flop. The only reason that show drew money was because The Rock was there as a what was that? He was the the spokesman or whatever, the host of WrestleMania. That's why that show drew money. It wasn't because The Miz was headlining against John Cena. And it wouldn't be now. I'm not saying The Miz is the biggest draw in the company. I just think he's one of the more deserving in the company right now. So that's my opinion. I think that there's no way. Not a chance in heck that he gets pushed to a main event level status. Let's go on a couple more of our matches in the tournament. This is the section of the tournament I'm really... As soon as I saw the matches line up, I was like, wow, I've never seen... The one match could have happened and didn't. And the other one, it happened sort of, kind of, but it was worthless. You'll understand what I'm saying in a minute. The first match I'm talking about is the Midnight Express. Remember, this version of the Midnight Express is Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane going against the Hart Foundation. For those people who are just longtime wrestling fans who love tag team wrestling, the way tag team wrestling used to be and how it was appreciated in the past, that match would have been an instant classic. I would give anything to see Bret Hart and Jim Neidhart against Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane. What an insane killer matchup. And you know the worst part is, I'm glad I'm not voting in this tournament because I don't have a freaking clue who I would pick in that match. I can make an argument for both because, you know, when you think about it, if you try to match these two teams up and try to determine, well, who would have beaten who? Because they didn't face each other ever. They were never in the same place. And then when you think about who they went against, there's very few tag teams that both teams went against. So the only ones I can think of, I know that the Hart Foundation on one of those WrestleFest DVDs faced the Road Warriors, as did the Midnight Express. In that match, the Midnight Express is actually the tag team that took the championships off the Road Warriors when they were leaving for WWE. And if you think about it, the Road Warriors defeated the Hart Foundation in their one and only match that I know of. So do you give one up to the Midnight Express there? But then you think about other tag teams they wrestled against. So when the Hart Foundation was in WWE, they had an opportunity to face the Brainbusters, which are Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson in WCW. The Hart Foundation beat the Brainbusters. Brainbusters beat the Hart Foundation. Kind of went back and forth. In WCW, Tully and Arn, they were just getting going with a feud with the Midnight Express when Tully and Arn decided to leave for WWE. So we didn't really get to see a lot of that. A little bit, but not enough. I don't know what direction you go with this. Those are the only two teams I can think of that both teams faced in the ring. The Road Warriors and Tully and Arn. So I don't know what you guys are going to do voting-wise. I don't even care. I'm sad to see either one of these teams go with this point in the tournament just because it sucks that they're matched up with each other. But that's what happens in these things. Sooner or later, everybody has to face an insane matchup. And that is the biggest one, I think, in this round for me. The next match, the Rock and Roll Express. And remember, we're talking about in their prime, not last November, going against the Hardy Boys. So, yeah, if you want to go to total nonstop deletion, yeah, the Rock and Roll Express showed up at the Hardy compound and got their butts handed to them. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about the Rock and Roll Express, who I watched go out into the ring on NWA Championship Wrestling in the morning and Saturday morning and watched them beat Ivan and Nikita Koloff for the NWA World Tag Team Championship, or the version of the Rock and Roll Express that I saw go against the Horsemen or go against Beautiful Bobby and Sweet Stan or whatever, Beautiful Bobby and Dennis Condrey. Like those feuds, those Rock and Roll Express are the ones that I'm talking about, that when they were in their prime and really putting on shows. Now, they had an opportunity to wrestle some other great tag teams. The Nasty Boys, they wrestled in the AWA. They wrestled the Rockers, the Midnight Rockers, before they were the Rockers, in the AWA. So the Rock and Roll Express, for people who don't know a lot about them, they've faced pretty much everybody. The only team I can think of that I don't think I ever saw them face was the Road Warriors, come to think of it. But their later stuff in WWE and from Smoky Mountain Wrestling, going against the Heavenly Bodies, you know, Jimmy Del Rey and Dr. Tom Pritchard or whoever, whatever combination you want to put of that. So, this is another one. I don't care where you go. The Hardy Boys, their resume speaks for itself. You know, when you're talking about TLCs and world championship quality wrestlers and winning championships in various promotions, it's hard to argue with the Hardy Boys. You can't pick a bad one in this matchup. So, again, I will leave that up to you guys. Make sure you're calling in, leaving your questions and comments on the Sound Off line, 267-642-1160. With that being said, I have another question has popped up here from their name is See No Evil, but they have a number one instead of an I for evil. So See No Evil, who's asking if WWE is obvious, Oh, I'm sorry. Is WWE oblivious to how much better independent wrestling is to WWE programming? Look, complicated question, and here's why. The higher-ups in World Wrestling Entertainment, I don't think have a clue. I really don't think they have a clue. I think Vince McMahon is so into his own company. I don't think ever in the history of his wrestling promotion has he cared about what other people are doing, except maybe during the Monday Night Wars. But someone like Triple H, I think, is very concerned with that kind of stuff. I think Triple H is probably, and I know he gets a bad rap a lot of times, but the reality is Triple H is one of the best things to happen to WWE in 30 years. And I say that because he's the one who's cultivated this NXT thing. NXT is so much more organic. And so I think he's paying very close attention to what's going on in the independent scene. On that video that I posted this week, top 10 independent talents that WWE needs to sign right now. You know, there's some of the guys on that list that I'm sure, I guarantee you, Triple H is very aware of. And Vince McMahon probably has no freaking clue who they are. Vince McMahon doesn't know who Will Ospreay is. He doesn't know who Ricochet is. He doesn't know who, Kazuchika Okada is. He doesn't pay attention to that stuff. He probably doesn't even know who Kenny Omega is. And Kenny Omega could have signed with him earlier this year. He leaves a lot of the talent acquisition to his head of talent relations and to Triple H and to his scouting teams, William Regal, Briscoe, all those kinds of guys going out and finding talent. And then they present them to him and he makes a decision. But the truth is, I don't think he pays attention to it at all. You know, it's hard. It's really hard. I actually have another comment that just popped up here that I absolutely love. When they talk about the Midnight Express versus the Hart Foundation, this is Jim Cornette and Jimmy Hart outside the ring. I hadn't even thought about those two being as a part of the match. Even better than Midnight versus Hearts is Cornette and Jimmy Hart outside the ring would be better than in the ring. Probably. Those guys, you know, we've lost the whole component of the manager in wrestling, with the exception maybe of Paul Heyman, but he's an advocate, not a manager. But gosh, Jim Cornette back in the day, the tennis racket, and that's the bizarre thing about those two. It's not like Bobby Heenan, who would like grab a leg. You know, remember WrestleMania 5 where he grabs the Warrior's leg and Rick Rude wins the Intercontinental title. That's not what we're talking about here. Jim Cornette would slide into the ring or toss into the ring his tennis racket and whack somebody. Jimmy Hart, much in the same way, would use the megaphone. He'd throw the megaphone in the ring and hit somebody with it or whatever. So I hadn't even thought about that angle on the match. That's awesome. And again, that's what makes that match so much harder to pick. I'm really, really torn over that. So, but See No Evil, I got your question covered. I hope you are okay with that. More news for the day. NXT star potentially turning heel. We're talking about Hideo Itami. At a recent show, he ended up after the match. He was not happy with the ending of the match, and he attacked his opponent after the bell. They ended up sending Cassius Ohno out to break it off, and they ended up having a physical altercation. I would love to see Itami turn into a heel. There was some speculation that his contract is up at the end of 2017, and some people are saying he's automatically going to go back to Japan. I think the reason people say that is because he has had a lot of injury issues since he's been in WWE, and they haven't been able to capitalize on their investment, but I think they're about to, because I think a heel Itami is perfect for NXT. Yeah, I know you got Bobby Roode as the world champion, but the truth is, Bobby Roode's one of those heels that people just love. I'm a huge Bobby Roode fan, so I don't care how you book him, he's a babyface to me. And that's the problem. There are plenty of people who would have no problem screaming and yelling at Hideo Itami because they aren't as familiar with him. He doesn't have the time here in the United States in front of Impact Wrestling like Bobby Roode did, where he could really cultivate that fan base. So I would love to see him turn heel. And that's the hint, is that they are planning to have him go heel. I think that'd be great for the brand. They have leaked some plans for the Great Balls of Fire main event. I don't know if anybody saw the logo for that pay-per-view change this week twice, because the first logo, very phallic, I'm just saying. You know, they had to change the logo a couple times just to keep it more PG, so to speak. The main event, Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe, they are now saying, without a doubt, this is a one-off match, which is a horrible injustice and a disservice to both wrestlers. That is a feud that could have easily taken up 3-4 months worth of pay-per-view time. You have one win, then you have the other one win, then you have the rubber match. You could even have a stipulation match after that. You could have had trading wins, have somebody take the title, and then have that last opportunity in like Hell in a Cell or something. And instead, we're going to see a one-off appearance where Samoa Joe Joe's going to get beat because you got to keep Brock Lesnar strong for Braun Strowman at SummerSlam, which, look, I'm all for Braun Strowman going against Brock Lesnar, but the truth is you're just going to have him beat Braun also. I don't like that either. I'd rather save the Braun Strowman match. Look, I don't need to see Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar at Mania. I really don't. I don't know why Vince is so stuck on that. I would much prefer to see Braun and Brock at WrestleMania, or Braun and Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe at WrestleMania. I hate seeing this match streamlined so fast. The reason I was saying Bray Wyatt coming out of the Fatal 5-Way was because if you go all the way back to the Royal Rumble 2 years ago, Bray Wyatt's the one in the Wyatt family are the ones who cost Brock Lesnar his world championship opportunity. He's never gotten any revenge for that. How can you be the beast incarnate and never get revenge for losing a world championship opportunity? I don't get that at all. So I would have loved to have seen that. And that's another one that I don't want a one-off. None of the five guys in that Fatal 5-Way did I want to see a one-off. And I know I'm going to anger some people when I say this, but if there had to be one that I was okay seeing a one-off, it would be Finn Balor. Because I think if you squash Finn Balor with Brock Lesnar, let's face it, Finn Balor does great against people like Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, but Brock Lesnar, really? How do you, I don't even know how you book that to make it look remotely believable. I really don't. And I love Finn Balor. I think he's got that one of the coolest entrances I've ever seen in the history of wrestling. But I don't see him beating Brock Lesnar. I really don't. Speaking of Finn Balor, he was in Japan this week and he was hanging out with some of his old New Japan buddies, Kazuchika Okada, Tama Tonga, Bad Luck Fale, Kushida. If you go online to Instagram and to Twitter, you could see his pictures posted with those guys. And right away, the internet speculation starts up that he's going to be trying to bring these guys to WWE. I want to talk about that quickly because the reality is, Okada has been very vocal that he does not have any interest in coming to WWE. He doesn't think that it's the best platform for Japanese wrestlers. He wants to stay in Japan. Bad Luck Fale just recently signed a huge deal. He's staying there, and I think they're going to push him to the stars because they really like him. Tama Tonga, he's not leaving the Bullet Club anytime soon. He has no reason to. He's got a good deal going on over there. And Kushida is probably the most likely. I put him in my top 10 Japanese talents that should come to WWE, but as much as I would love to see him in WWE, I don't see any chance that they bring him out of that Super Juniors division. He's the face of that division. He just won the Best of Super Juniors tournament. He'll be probably winning the championship in, like, you know, in December or maybe at Wrestle Kingdom or whatever. So I don't see that happening. So I know there were some media outlets that really wanted to push whether or not he was trying to convince those guys to come in, but I don't think he has any chance of getting them to leave where they're at right now. Make sure if you have any questions or comments or anything you want to put into that sound offline, get them in the next 5 to 7 minutes or so, 267-642-1160. That way I can make sure I get them into this episode. The last tidbit of news for this segment, ICW. Insane Championship Wrestling out of Great Britain, it looks like they are pulling all of their material off the Fight app, and the speculation is that is so that they can migrate it into the WWE network, which would be awesome, because we've been talking about this for a while. WWE wants to find a way to create more price points for their network, and that would be one of them. You could buy a higher level price point so you can get access to ICW, Progress Wrestling, some kind of Japanese wrestling, Mexican wrestling, whatever. I'm fine with that, but I'm kind of surprised ICW would be the first one they choose. Now, again, you know, I thought they would go for Progress because you've got Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne and all those guys are in Progress. Pete Dunne is the Progress World Champion. I would go there first, but maybe ICW is the first ones to make a move on the offer. I'm going to go to our next pair of matches, our last two in this round for the Sweet 16. First, we have the Outsiders, Hall and Nash, WCW Invaders, going head-to-head with Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy. I actually thought Studd and Bundy, for an unfair reason, I thought they would get eliminated so early in this tournament because a lot of young people vote on these and they don't know Studd and Bundy. They don't know the dominance that the Heenan family had. You know, really, Studd and Bundy, the only reason they ever lost matches is because they were put against Hogan and Andre, or Andre and Snuka, or Hogan and whoever, Hogan and Orndorff before Orndorff turned on them. So it's kind of a tough situation for kids because they're like, oh, well, those guys never won tag team championships or anything. But you got to understand who they were. They weren't designed to be tag team champions. They weren't designed to be tag team partners. They were designed to be the two giant people that were going to pose a threat to Hulk Hogan. And Andre the Giant would be the guy who came out and supported Hulk Hogan, or Paul Orndorff, or whoever at the time. But as far as in the ring, I'm trying to picture a scenario how they would lose to almost any of the tag teams in this tournament. And now they're going to go against the Outsiders, who Hall and Nash were dominant. I know people hate some of the booking with Hall and Nash later in their WCW run, but when they first got there, there was nobody hotter than the Outsiders. Their skill set, the way they move around the ring, the way they worked as a team, I can't envision this match happening. I can't see it. It's two incredible heel tag teams. So I don't know who I would pick in this. But more power to the voters, because I don't have a clue where you're going at once you get to this. And our last match in the Sweet 16, one that I didn't think would make it this far. We've got Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson, the Four Horsemen. I'm very happy to see them this far. That's one of my favorite tag teams, especially now that I got the opportunity to interview Tully. That's like a highlight of my life kind of thing. Going against the Brotherhood, Goldust and Stardust. And, you know, I said on the surface there was only one match that probably was a gimme. And I'm not saying that out of disrespect for the Brotherhood, but I know that Tully and Arn have a huge following. You just say the Horsemen, and even non-wrestling fans know who you're talking about. So that's why I say that. I think the fandom for Tully and Arn is instantly going to give it to them, even though I think Goldust and Stardust, using today's product as a measuring stick, for the better part of 9 months held the tag team titles and did a really nice job with it, defeating all sorts of tag teams. You know, do what you will with the match. I'm not going to complain if Tully and Arn win. I'm not going to complain if the Brotherhood wins. I really don't care. But that was the only one that I think, based on the trends that I've seen in the voting, that's probably going to be a hands-down win. All the rest of them are highly debatable. I don't care who you are. You can argue till you're blue in the face. You can make an argument for any of the other teams in their matches, whether it's Sting and Luger, the Road Warriors, the Hart Foundation, Midnight, whatever. You can make an argument. The Dudleys, they're all some of the greatest tag teams in the history of wrestling. Any one of them that come out, I'm going to say this, I'm going to feel like a jerk as soon as I say it. The only team left in this entire tournament that I'd be upset with is the Brotherhood winning. Not because they aren't a great tag team, but because they can't beat a lot of these other teams. Can they? Really? Then again, it's up to you. You're the fantasy bookers. So let's turn our attention for another tidbit in the wrestling news world. Impact Wrestling has potentially spoiled a major announcement. It looks as though James Storm will be the next inductee into the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame. There was some reference to that happening. He was doing an interview talking about what an honor it is to be in the Hall of Fame, that kind of stuff. And so it looks like James Storm will be this year's inductee, and much deserved. Let's face it, going all the way back to his days with America's Most Wanted, when he was a tag team champion originally, going into Beer Money, being a world champion. You know, the guy has done pretty much everything you could ask him to do in Impact Wrestling. He had, what, like a one-off match with WWE? Everybody was excited he was coming, and then he went back, you know, showed his loyalty, went back to Impact Wrestling. He's somebody I really hope to see in a WWE ring at some point. He's also somebody who I've shot messages to repeatedly on LinkedIn, trying to get him to come on for an interview and never get a response from. So if you're listening, James Storm, which I doubt, but if you happen to be listening, hook a brother up here, man. Give me an interview. But congratulations to him if he is going to the Hall of Fame. It's a beautiful thing. Just an FYI, we are closing down the sound off line right now. So if any of your questions or comments pop into your head after this point, that's fine. You could send them in anyways. I'll address them in a regular episode when we do our regular broadcast throughout the week. Don't think that just because the live broadcast is winding down that I'm not going to get to your questions. I will always try to make sure I get enough time for everybody who sends something in. I hate to leave anybody hanging. Another story making the news this week, Total Divas. I have pretty much spent no time in any episode talking about Total Divas, but I'm only talking about this one because they've added two new cast members. You know, they have Eva Marie leaving, and they bring in two people who, for me, complicate things for Raw. Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax will be joining Total Divas. Now, I have no problem with them joining the show. What I have a problem with is they're getting ready to feud over the women's championship at the same time that they're filming. I understand that Total Divas breaks kayfabe here and there, but that's a little too much for me. You know, when people watch these, I don't know if people realize, but they film Total Divas like 9 months before it actually airs. So I guess they're hoping by the time it airs that you forget that these two were embroiled into a big feud right when they were filming. But that is the plan, is that those two are going to go onto the show. Eva Marie will exit, her contract's expiring, and let's face it, the girl had no talent to begin with. She didn't belong in a wrestling ring. She wants to be a model. Go have fun with your own brand and be a model. Wrestling fans will not miss her. But, you know, these two, they're at the top of the game right now. And if they're going to be on the same show that you have people like Charlotte on, could make for some interesting stuff to see Alexa Bliss and Charlotte on the same show. I would like to see that. I'd like to see them in the ring, because that's about the best matchup in the women's division you could put on right now. So, time for our last comment. I did get one in before the time limit expired. This is from Kyla Glam 01, who is asking if certain wrestlers like Curtis Axel and Heath Slater can ever be brought up to mid-card status, or will they be stuck being jobbers forever? All right, first off, when it comes to Heath Slater, let's be honest. It was only, what, 6-8 months ago? He was tag team champion of SmackDown with Rhino. I know that's not being a megastar by any stretch, but Heath Slater has held tag team gold more than once. You know, going back to Nexus, he's held it a few times. So I don't have a problem with the way they book Slater if he's willing to play that role. I do think he's a lot better than they portray him on television. And Curtis Axel, I can't even begin to get started with how much I think they underappreciate him. He is phenomenal. He's celebrating his 10th year in the business. That was on a tweet he put out earlier today or yesterday, something like that. 10 years Curtis Axel's been in the business. I would love for him to get away from that name. Just call him Joe Henning. You know, he's keep his father's namesake, you know? Let him be Mr. Not-So-Perfect or do something. I don't care. But his father was a major, major star, and you should capitalize on that, not repress it. You know, I know they're like, oh, you know, Kurt Hennig and Larry the Axe Hennig. I get that, but there's so few people who even know who Larry the Axe Hennig is anymore. I'm talking about the younger audience. Obviously, us older raving lunatic marks, we know. But, yeah, to your question, though, getting to actual mid-card status or being stuck being jobbers, WWE, it's a complicated answer because obviously Jinder Mahal, if you asked me that question 3 months ago, I would have told you no, Jinder Mahal is never going to win a championship in his life, and now he's world heavyweight champion and potentially going to hold it for like 7 months. So yeah, I guess theoretically anybody on the roster, Kalisto could be world champion at some point. So I guess it's possible when you have Kalisto beating Ryback at WrestleMania, it kind of tells me anybody could beat anybody. And since they don't think wins and losses matter, I guess it's not a big deal, but I don't think it's likely. I think the shock and awe from people with Jinder Mahal getting the title, and look, we're not stupid. Jinder Mahal winning the world title is all about an Indian market. It's not about them wanting Jinder Mahal to be a main eventer. It's about, we got this new market we're trying to tap into, and he's the best bet we got at bringing in a new audience, so let's go that route. And that's why he got the title. Okay, what are you going to do with Curtis Axel? Well, we want to get more Minnesota people to watch, so we're going to give Curtis Axel the championship. No, that's why you got Brock Lesnar. You know, we want to get more people who are fans of 3MB, so we're going to give it to Heath Slater since Mahal has won the title and Drew Galloway is a stud now in NXT. It's just not going to happen. I wish it would. I think they deserve more than what they get, especially Curtis Axel, but I don't think they know what to do. You know, it's kind of the same thing with, what's his name, Bo Dallas. You know, Bo Dallas is a great talent, but he's been so wasted. And Vince sours on people so quickly, they never get a fair shot after they initially irritate him. Bo Dallas, they should repackage him as another member of the Wyatt family, since he's the only one who actually is related to Bray Wyatt. And they should have been a team years ago. That Bo Dallas character should never even have made it to television. It's horrible. Bo, leave. What? Get out of here. Are you serious? He's somebody who needs to be repackaged and again, he's another one who, if they don't repackage him, he'll never, never make it to mid-card or anything above that status. It's just my opinion. So, please don't forget, shoot on over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/FroWrestlingPodcast. If you're willing to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family, we would appreciate any contribution you can make. Our dollar contributors per month are thrown into our shout-outs in our podcast episodes, all the way up to our $50 level contributors who get to host an episode live with me on one of these going live on 905 podcast episodes. I would love to have somebody do that. We have yet to have a $50 a month contributor. If we get one of those, I would love to bring somebody on. We'll bring you through the phone line and we will tie you in and we will discuss and go over and plan a whole episode. That way you could be a part of the show just like me. I want you to be a part of this. So by all means, shoot on over to patreon.com/ProWrestlingPodcast and contribute today. Give us a subscribe, give us a like, give us a comment. All those things help us grow. Share our information with your friends, the people who you talk wrestling with. Let them know. You know, we want to grow as much as we can, and that only happens through word of mouth. You guys are the loyal listeners. If you're on this podcast episode right now, you're one of the best listeners we've got, because we're 50 minutes into an episode and you're still here. That shows your loyalty. That shows how much you appreciate us, and that's why we appreciate you. So, by all means, share us with whoever you can. We'd love to be there for a bigger audience. Special thanks, as always, to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing all of our music and sound effects used in today's show. This is all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us next episode. We'll run down all the happenings in Raw, probably SmackDown, depending on the night and how late I get this thing going. And then, you know, hopefully we can get you more episodes in the near future. Today's podcast is sponsored in part by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this new game from Beazle Games by going to thegamecrafter.com/game/sketchy people to pick up your copy today. And by the way, there's actually links right on frolifeplanning.com/fropodcast for Sketchy People, Legendary Elements, and Banani Market, all three board games through the Game Crafter. Awesome board games. I have a copy of all three. By all means, check those out. If you're one of those people who loves to have family game night, there are three options for you. I guarantee you probably have never seen, and they are unique. Go for it. Thank you, as always, to AliRepair.com. Contact AliRepair today for servicing of all your classic skee-ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. And be sure and shoot over to our website at FroLifePlanning.com for all your higher education needs. If you are looking to make that change, go into college, a university, if you want to make a career change, you need assistance with resumes and things like that, interview skills, whatever that is, feel free to send us a message through FroLifePlanning.com, where we can help you on that path to that higher education, to that new career opportunity. Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you for taking a few moments with us today. And if you're looking for more wrestling news and rumors, go to www.tsjsports.com or www.tsjsports.com/WWE for some of the latest articles on the world of professional wrestling. Until next episode, take care, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will talk to you again live next Saturday night when we're going live at 9:05. Take care, everyone.